greetings and salutations, everyone, and welcome to episode 141 of the Blind Bargains Cast. I'm Joe, and that guy over there in someplace in New Jersey is JJ. Hey, how's it going, sir?
I thought last week was my last week here, but it turns out I have one more week here. So I'm here. I'm doing the standing desk routine this week. You know, trying to be a little...
Sure, yeah.
You got a chance to go to the Shore, right? Because MTV's teaching me all about the Jersey Shore reunion. So
no, it's actually come right here of all the rain. It's pretty much up to my front door. I need to illustrate, though, before we continue, the need for proofreading. I tweeted this earlier this week. Going to be a soggy week for the Garden State this week because the National Weather Service has issued a flash food watch.
Yeah!
You might like that.
Flash food! That is awesome. Is that like flash frozen food, maybe? Flash fry a turkey? No? You could totally pay attention to how you're typing next time if you actually used the information that you're going to learn in this interview coming up on Blind Bargains.
Yeah, do you have a name now? I had to fix it for you. Flick Type is the name of the app. You might have heard about it.
I have sinus trouble today. I'm afraid I might say something different. So it's you say that word. Yeah,
it's a new Flexi, but it is new and improved.
Don't call it a comeback.
Well, we'll actually hear a lot about that coming up a little bit later on. Where it's going and where it's going to go this time. So we have Costa, oh my gosh, Eleftheriou, who is a co-founder of FlickType, coming on a little bit later on to talk about, hey, exactly what is the direction? What happened with Flexi? Where is it going? We'll do a little demo if you haven't heard it before. It's a pretty cool little app, and yes, it's going to be coming as a system keyboard very soon to your iOS device as well. So learn about that and get on the beta. If you would like to try it out right now, they have 1,000 beta users.
That's not going to be the only beta that we talk about this. Yeah, but that's not the only beta. Pay attention because the news has even more about betas. But before we get to that, there seems to be more entertainment available to you. You know, we just finished our trip to San Diego, but we're already being asked about questions involving the summer conventions, which are right around the corner, my friend. You could actually be flying there on a United Jet airliner. And if you do, you might have some options for entertainment.
Hey, so they have updated their in-flight entertainment app. Remember, we mentioned some foreign airlines. I think Turkish Airlines was one. There might have been another one. I think there was that was doing audio described content. Well, United is the first, to my knowledge, U.S. airline that is doing this. Can't speak for the accessibility of the app, which would be unfortunate if it wasn't. So maybe someone can let us know. But the latest version does have, they say, at least 15, 20 different titles currently and more being added. TV shows, movies with audio descriptions and closed captioning. So, you know, not everything they have, but certainly it is better than zero. And I don't see any other airlines doing it yet, but it seems to be a trend that's kind of catching on a little more and more here and there.
I was super happy to actually witness the audio description in YouTube TV. A couple of people had talked about it on Twitter, and I was able to actually do it finally with a live stream of TBS and the Big Bang Theory.
When did they add that? Is that pretty recent on the YouTube TV?
Right before CSUN. It was like late February, early March. And so what you do is you go to a station that you know that may have audio description, let's say TBS again, and it's the Big Bang Theory. And you place your focus within, and this is iOS, so I'm not sure about Android yet. I haven't had a chance to check, but in iOS, you place your focus inside the video heading. So there's that video screen heading, tap on that. It'll bring up controls. You flick over to more options and then you flick to the very bottom and you'll find a setting that will take you in to change it from primary to secondary audio. And then it will refresh the screen and then you have audio description, which is pretty cool.
Really interesting to see the audio description on the airline apps and also just to see how well they work. I did the Delta one now a couple weeks ago. And no audio description, but I was able to access their onboard entertainment without any major issues. Same for American. They're a little bit quirky sometimes. None of them have been built with true what you would call compliance, but
right,
they're all, you know, a lot of them are better than nothing. Of course, we demoed Southwest a couple months ago. You can go back and check that out a few podcasts back. I'm not going to go look it up. You can go look it up yourself.
Yeah, no.
Before CSUN.
Don't forget, you can always download things too. So you could always like buy a movie in iTunes, or if you have Movies Anywhere, you could purchase it and it could go across various services, which is what I do mostly with
a lot of movies. Or download a podcast like this one.
Or download Netflix. You can use, depending on what content it is, Netflix will let you download audio described stuff and you can have it right there on the airplane with you. So there's that. And then turn screen curtain on so nobody can look over your shoulder. So there's that idea. One of the things you could also do in order to read things privately is you could be using InVision AI to do the reading for you. Now, back in October, I admitted, quite honestly, that I didn't think this app was up to snuff when compared to Seeing AI. Since then, holy buckets, have they been adding the features and languages and making crazy improvements and working on their UI. And they came out with a lifetime subscription. So for like, I think it's $200, you actually could get the ability to use the app for free, unlimited. And now they're actually working on this promotion, which involves sponsorships.
So yeah, except it's not the sponsorship in the way that we might think. And I'm not sure if I'm a fan. So essentially you can go to this link and you can sponsor a subscription for someone, but it's almost like the way they're wording it is it's like a save the children type situation. So it's 5 euros a month. Where's the line that kind of...
For pennies a day, you too could bring... And never mind.
Well, here's the thing. So,
Sally Struthers line.
Here's the text that I don't like. InVision AI is empowering the visually impaired community or to explore and contribute to society on their own terms. That's great. We use the sponsorship to make and provide a subscription to a visually impaired user in need. You will get a detailed summary of your subscription has gone to and how it has empowered them.
I'm telling you, it's Sally Struthers.
I don't like that part at all. I mean, it's one thing if you want to be charitable. I have no problem with the charitable.
Bring the power of speech and OCR to a young blind person.
I think it's another case of a company of a little bit out of touch. I mean, they're very receptive on feedback, and I wish them all the best. And I think this could perhaps work, this idea. I just don't like the wording at all. It really needs to be a lot more, you know, and they're not the only company that's fallen into this trap. But
how do you market to an audience that responds to inspiration porn and not offend the audience who could be used as inspiration porn? So that's always a catch 22. You see that from certain companies when they go to do like the medical show or the show for eye doctors, you know, versus, you know, a convention or a consumer oriented show like CSUN or in a PACB.
There's ways that you can write this that aren't necessarily so dehumanizing, you know
more inclusive.
Right. I mean, just kind of, just talking about, you know, blind people and some people have limited incomes and how this really can
But that doesn't benefit. Get in the bucks. It's the violins. You got to pull out, you know, the charity case line, right?
You want to alienate half your users to do this, though?
Sure.
Because after reading that, I've lost all interest in downloading the app. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Okay.
But
you've heard it. Let's envision. There you go.
But that's just, I'm one user. I'm one user. Tell me I'm wrong. Feedback at blindbargains.com. I'm taking two sentences off a web page, and I don't like to overreact, even though I just did.
You've been very good and strong about your opinions before. In fact, let me give you an example. Brailleback.
Huh. Okay. Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something nice about Brailleback.
Oh, I am. Okay. Patrick, record this for posterity. Make a mark of it. Put a tone generator right here.
There's a new beta of Brailleback. Uh-huh. So the app lives. I'm very excited about that. Added support for the Orbit Reader 20 and fixes a couple little bugs. The beta content is what it is. Okay, they added a display that they should be adding. But at least they're doing something with Brailleback. They did say at CSUN that they know. I mean, I don't think they're oblivious to the needs of users and that Brailleback needs to be developed. They know that. I understand the challenges are big. I'm thrilled that we were seeing something. How, albeit minor, I hope more happens maybe towards Android P. I don't know, you know, what it's going to take, but I'm really excited.
I'm bracing for Android P. I am so bracing because if these rumors about it adopting iPhone 10 like gestures are true and there are screens that are coming out with different places for different buttons and different. Anyway, let me not make mindless speculation because Google I.O. is right around the corner.
Yeah, I was just going to say, by the way, we're covering it this year. I'm going to Google I.O. Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know if you're coming. Oh, you want to come? But
well, no. You go. Okay. You go. I'm a little busy right before then. I'll be in Mississippi. Sorry. So
we're going to cover it somehow. Probably figure out how we can record over there in Mountain View at the amphitheater or somewhere nearby. We're in talks and get some cool interviews while we're out there. But yeah, we will definitely be covering I.O.
It's going to be like Al Franken with the satellite dish on his head. He's going to be the human remote. It's going to be amazing. It'd
be really cool to go back. I haven't been on it. I mean, this was what, 2012?
You haven't been back since the blimp.
2012. Yeah. I think it was 2012. Like
the dawning one of the early of that Glass.
Android show episodes, way back when. So
way back when
Anna and I both went to that one. So it'd be really cool to go back, different venue.
Jelly Bean.
Yes.
Was it Jelly Bean? Yeah, it was Jelly Bean.
The Nexus 7. The Nexus 7 and the Q,
which I never have ever let that go.
Yep. Yep. So
I pulled out my original Nexus 2000 and X Nexus 7 the other day. Oh my gosh, that takes so long to boot from cold. Oh man,
this is just, well, you know what?
It's not pretty.
You could run. I'm not sure if it would run on the 7, but it might. But it definitely will run on newer things. You could run Accessibility Scanner, which is an Android app. It's been around for a minute.
I believe it was announced. Yeah, I think that's safe.
I believe it was announced a year ago or so at CSUN, and it's an app. Maybe, or has it been 2 years? But it's an app that developers can use to test their apps for accessibility. It's important to us because, A, it's been updated, so they're testing for more things. They will now let you know if you have an unsupported icon or a type, a usage type. So in other words, if you have some sort of weird button and it can try to detect that, okay, TalkBack isn't going to see this button, it will hopefully let you know. You can also adjust some other things like your touch targets, which is how big the icons need to be for them to be accessible. There's rules around that for low vision. But the general takeaway is that there are more easy tools for developers to make apps accessible. So if you have an Android app that's one of the resources you can point them at. You can say, hey, go get Accessibility Scanner. It's free. You can run it. It kind of just sits in the background while you're running an app, and then you can pop it up on any screen of the app. So it's a really cool and free tool that you can point your developer friends at to help make Android apps more accessible. Like everything else is not going to find everything, but it will find a lot of things and more things now.
It's a lot better than the self-testing you had to do by putting your Android device in developer mode. Remember to go down to system and tap 7 times.
Yeah, you still might need to do that, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 times.
Sometimes.
You have to tap it 7 times, except for TalkBack users, you have to tap it 14 times because it's
14 times.
This is for developer mode. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you probably shouldn't be doing it. So don't worry about it.
You shouldn't be going into that section. That is a bad place to be. That it could be. Learn how to brick your phone in 14 easy taps. And so there are also some things that are coming up that involve Braille. Now, this is something I tweeted and then I forgot that I tweeted it. And JJ went back and pulled it out of my crazy tweet feed. What are we talking about here? This almost looks like a Kickstarter of the week kind of thing.
I don't think it's, I'm not sure where it's Kickstarter, but it definitely is an interesting, how would you pronounce this? Braille Nui? N-E-U-E standard.
UI?
Not even UI? In English right now.
Yeah.
And looking at Japanese and Latin for the moment. But what it is a font that combines print and Braille in the same letter. So superimposed over your print letters, you would have the Braille dots for the same letter. So you kind of have to adjust the print shapes a little bit to make that work. But the idea is, especially for signage, sometimes it's one of the excuses for, I can't put Braille on this sign because we don't have room. But you can put the Braille right over the print. It won't affect the print. It just will add little dots and it would work. So could you bring this to English?
Perfect. Probably. For your View Plus embossers that do graphics.
Oh, gosh, awesome? Yeah. I mean, there's lots of interesting ideas here. It's one of those things we kind of just throw in. We'll see where it goes. Like I said, not in English now, but in some other languages. And it's a really interesting and different idea. So we'll definitely follow that one. And if anything really cool comes out about that, we will let you know.
Well, we were all about numbers last week, and now we're going to be about letters and words. It seems like a good balance from 140 to 141.
Okay. Yeah, true.
But is there anything going on at AT Guys before we flip on over to the interview that we should talk about?
No. No, really, we're starting to get ready for the summer stuff. So hopefully we'll have some new products and such soon. Nothing special this week, but yeah, in the very near future, we certainly have a lot of new products and things, and we'll start doing some shows and some other stuff again, especially now that I have a little more time.
I will know what that is very shortly after I finish this other thing I'm doing. But to get on the good foot and move towards that, we have to stop right here with the news. And after this interview, we will come back with a tip, sound off, and so much more here on episode 141 of the Blind Bargains Cast.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
Welcome back to the Blind Bargains Cast, and we're up to a segment on a new and emerging popular keyboard called FlickType. You might have heard of Flexi back in the day. It was a keyboard on the iOS platform that was pretty revolutionary for its time. Well, Flexi kind of came and went and had a bit of an interesting past. We'll talk about that in a second. But Flexi is now back in the form of FlickType. And with us is Costa Eleutherio. Close enough on the name?
Yes, that was pretty good, actually. Thank you, Jason.
And, awesome.
It's great to be here.
Great. He is a co-founder of FlickType and, of course, has a new keyboard here to show us on the Blind Bargains Cast. Hey, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I would love to tell you more about what FlickType is and do a demo and, you know, take any questions you may have.
Well, awesome. We definitely really appreciate it. So let's kind of go through a little bit of the history before we get to what's here now. So Flexi was a keyboard that was out a few years ago, kind of came and went, eventually got acquired by Pinterest. So kind of tell us a little bit, give us the short version. We could go on for an hour about this, but give us a short version of what happened.
Sure. So Flexi was and still is a product that's out there being maintained by a different company right now, actually. But it is a keyboard that started as a keyboard with the idea being it would improve typing for everyone. So not necessarily only for blind or low vision users. However, very quickly, it became apparent that it was going to be really, really effective in terms of tackling the blind and low vision community challenges with regards to typing. And it was pretty interesting also to notice that typing is the biggest challenge, it seems, with just about everyone. So regardless of level of sight, still to this day on the phone, it's one of the most kind of frustrating tasks. So it was a fresh take on how could we imagine typing if it was designed from the ground up for the touchscreen. Whereas traditional keyboards so far have been using the paradigm of the hardware keyboard and trying to bring that onto the kind of virtual touchscreen devices. Mm-hmm. So, and not a very different way of typing. So there's still a layout of the QWERTY keys, if you want. But what it really does is combine that with a couple of very, really powerful gestures to make typing easier. Now, as I said, this was initially launched with the blind and low vision community in mind when that was in 2012. Mm-hmm. It very quickly became apparent that this is not something that will only help people that have vision impairments. So we did seek out funding, external funding, to sustain the company, because at the time, just having the product for blind and low vision users was just not bringing anywhere near enough revenue to sustain it as a company.
Sure.
And no investors really wanted to target a very small market, so we were kind of in some way forced to expand our market reach.
You're saying it wasn't your original goal to kind of, the original goal was to what? To stick to blind people or try to find a way that everyone could use it? Or
the original vision was to find a way that everyone can use it. So ideally not really separate the two. I wanted to build something that I would call a universal technology, something that mm-hmm. happens to be different from the way that we typed before, but it would be the same regardless of whether you are blind, have low vision, or are perfectly sighted. It does turn out to be the case that sighted people have also demands and expectations for some things that blind and low vision users probably wouldn't care much about or at all, even things like stickers and GIF images, like being right there on their keyboard.
Sure.
So eventually, and having taken external funding, there was a lot of commitment from our side as a company from that point onwards to really expand our reach. And what I would say is that unfortunately, we just basically spread ourselves really, really thin. And we didn't manage to create something that was typing experience that I imagine, and that would be great either for sighted or for blind and low vision users. So I think all segments of our target market eventually kind of suffered from that.
So the company got sold. You are not involved with the Flexi company now, correct?
Technically, I am involved. I mean, on paper, I am still the CEO. However, development and everything day-to-day has been paused from my side and is now being developed by another team called ThingThing, who are pursuing their vision of a keyboard for sighted people with a lot of kind of added features on top of just typing.
Okay. So one of the things that happened when it was sold is that the source code was made available for at least parts of it, the Flexi source code a couple years back. And so now you've taken that, built on that, and now we have FlickType.
That's right. So thankfully, per request to the companies, the Flexi company board, we all agreed that it would be a great thing for us to open source that part, at least of the source code. The unfortunate part was that I didn't see anyone picking it up. Like, I was hoping that someone would kind of pick it up and publish it under maybe a new name, mm-hmm. And see it on the App Store and see it thrive. So at the very least, I think that this is now a great opportunity where, you know, me going back to kind of the roots of where this all began, start from the code of what was very unfortunately named Flexi VO app back then when it was kind of spun off the other app. And start from there and bring it up to speed. There's a lot of things that have broken since quite a few iOS releases have come and gone. And bring it up to speed and just release it for free for everyone to use. So that would be the standalone app, as probably some of your audience may remember. So that would be FlickType. And we are planning to launch that sometime this month, actually. So maybe by the time the show airs, it's going to be already on the App Store. And this is just the beginning. There's a lot more that I have in terms of fresh ideas and making this be a keyboard extension that can be used system-wide in all apps. Hopefully these things are going to come soon after.
So for those who may not be familiar, you do have a phone in front of you. Let's just do a really quick demo of exactly how FlickType works.
Definitely. So let me just clear the text here. So what I have in front of me is a keyboard layout, like the QWERTY layout that people are familiar with. But what I do is very similar to the direct touch typing way of typing. I just very lightly tap where I think the letters of the word that I want to type are. And at the end of the word, I just flick right. So there's no space bar. I just flick right to indicate the end of the word. So let me start by typing hello, for example. I'll go for H-E-L-L-O. Now, I probably didn't touch the actual letters, but I kind of touched nearby, so I'm going to flick right. And thankfully, the right word, the intended word, is pronounced. And to type the next word, I just simply start typing again. So there's nothing else that I need to do. As soon as I hear my word, I can just continue typing. And then if I wanted to delete something, I can just flick left.
Delete there. Delete hello.
And I can delete words.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
So if it didn't pick the right word, you would.
So this is one of the most common kind of secondary tasks with tapping is the autocorrect, or let's call it like a correction engine does the prediction just wasn't what you wanted. So say I type this, but instead I wanted thus, I just do a flick down. And I can kind of cycle by flicking down, I can cycle through the list of alternative suggestions.
Okay. What if you're trying to get a weirder word or something that's not coming up as a suggestion? What would you do then?
So if it's a word that I know it's unlikely to be in the dictionary, like a name or like an unusual name, because some names are already there, what I would do is similar to the touch typing method of typing on the standard iOS keyboard, I would just tap and hold, and then I would just explore the keyboard and the keys.
I switched it.
Yeah, and then when I let go, it's going to enter the exact character that I last heard. So this way I can make precise and accurate typing. And again, at the end of the word, I just do a flick right, and that is my space.
It will automatically switch you back, or would you have to switch it back yourself?
No, it will automatically switch back right after you let go, actually. So there's even a way to type the first letter accurately and then the rest not so accurately if you want. It really just gets enabled into that touch typing mode if you touch and hold down for like half a second or so.
So this is available right now in a public beta. In other words, it's pretty open as far as people can email you guys to the sign up. And you've been getting a lot of feedback from users. What have you learned?
That's right. Yeah, we're in open beta, and actually we've been very amazed and pleasantly surprised by the amount of interest. We have so many beta testers already. I think we're pretty soon going to cross more than 1,000 testers. We just invite anyone to send us an email at beta@flicktide.com, and you can join right away. So a lot of the feedback revolves around, you know, there is some older Flexi users that are really happy, first of all, to have that back. Another is that people want, like, the most common request is, can we make this a system-wide keyboard that we can use in all apps? And what we say to that is, this has been our dream from a long, long time ago. And this time around, it's going to be the first time, actually, that we're going to bring this full-screen typing experience into just every app. Because Flexi, as a third-party keyboard, was never, that could be used in every app, never had this full-screen experience that you may have used in the standalone app.
And just to clarify for people who might not understand what he's talking about, right now you have to open up the FlickType app and you can type in like he was doing, and you can copy that over to another app. But of course, making it a system keyboard would mean anytime there's a keyboard in just about any app, you could have FlickType pop up as the keyboard. How hard would that be? Is that pretty simple as far as you already have the code for the keyboard?
It's quite hard for a few reasons. I don't want to go into too much detail, but the main gist is that the current code base that was open sourced by Flexi a long time ago is, let's say, pretty messy in a
nice way. No, never a messy code base.
So what we're looking to do is kind of start from scratch, and with that, bring also some fresh new ideas. So we're not going to just take the existing thing as is and pour it over, but rather we're kind of building it from scratch and trying to see just how much we can push the limits in terms of how integrated this can be in within the rest of the iOS system. So it's not just a matter of being in every app, but even some of the gestures about how you do things are going to be different. And one great example is, by being available in every app, that means that it's quite likely that you're going to start editing, say, a note that already has some text. So suddenly, there is this need to move the cursor more than before. So in the standalone app as it is today, there's no way to move the cursor. If you want
right.
to change something before, you have to delete things and then type them. So things like that are just going to make it, I think, much, much different and make it feel like much more part of the operating system itself this week.
Does the autocorrect or the determining of which word you're going to use, is it purely based on where it finds the fingers, or does it also use the context of the words around it to try to also give it a clue if it happens to find a couple similar words?
So you're right. It uses both, more than just one word that may be suitable based on both the touches where you touch the screen as well as the context, as we call it. But those two things together make for an experience where it's quite rare that you need to change the suggestion. And if you ever need to, it's good to know that it's just one flick down away. So all in all, it just makes for a really comfortable typing.
What other features? You said you have lots of bold ideas as far as what you're willing to talk about right now. What anything in the pipeline that you really think would be awesome, groundbreaking?
Definitely. So like I mentioned, cursor control, I think, is something that is quite requested and I think it's going to be a great addition and really let you even rethink the use cases of when you would use your phone with FlickType, such as like longer pieces of text content that you might otherwise not do because you didn't have cursor control. So other things revolve around the kind of even rethinking the entire set of gestures, not just the more advanced functionality, but even the most common ones. I think there is an opportunity here to create an experience that's even better and maybe much better than Flexi ever was for blind and low vision users. So I don't want to go into too much detail, and things are like pretty fluid still, but we do expect the system-wide keyboard to go to beta very shortly after we launch the standalone app on the App Store. So anyone who wants to join the beta is going to get kind of the first and earliest glimpse of this new system-wide keyboard.
So you're doing this as a part-time kind of a side venture at the moment, or what's the setup?
That's a
here?
Great question. No, so this is a personal effort of me and my wife, but just because it's a personal effort does not mean it's not our full-time job, really. There's no other project that we're working on. This is our entire focus, and we actually hope and plan for this to be a long-term sustainable project that can really impact people's lives, which is something that motivates us a lot to work hard and make sure, again, that it's a sustainable project in the sense that there were some errors that we did with regards to how we launched and how we priced the earlier Flexi products. And we think that this time around, especially having the commitment to the blind and low vision community and not really going after sighted users, coupled with the fact that we have a lot more experience, both technical and otherwise, we think we can make this happen and make this be a tool that people can rely on and hopefully make it the most popular way for blind and low vision users to type on iOS.
And I guess that's a good segue to kind of the related question. You know the market more now. It's obviously, you could pull out any stat you wanted. There's millions of quote-unquote blind people, but there's really more thousands or tens of thousands that are active users at the moment, maybe a little more than that. So how do you sustain this? You know, especially you can only charge so much for a project like this. And how do you do this in the long term? Obviously, you're not going to give away all your business secrets, but
yeah, and really, there is no secret. As like currently, we don't have any finalized plans on kind of what the pricing would be. We're looking to charge something very, very reasonable, like a very small fee, so that everyone really can be using it. So the question does remain, how many users are out there that would make use of something like this? And we haven't been able to find actually many statistics beyond the broader statistics that just don't tell us, you know, exactly what our target market is and how big it is. But we're trusting our gut feeling here. We really think that this can be a sustainable business, and with a price point that is low enough and reasonable enough, hopefully by having like almost everyone that can use this product actually use this product is what's going to make it really long-term sustainable.
The other one that I've noticed, and I think from looking at some of the forum threads, you now have some users that are doing braille screen input, which didn't exist before too. So will there be a demo out there, or will there be a way for people to try it, especially people that might think, oh, I can't possibly type faster than braille screen input?
So we really want everyone to try it and make sure everyone can have a chance and really compare it with whatever their favorite typing method is currently. So that's why, as I mentioned earlier, the standalone app that you cannot use inside every other app, you have to go in it to type something, but you can copy and paste wherever you want, that will be launched free and will remain free forever. We have no plans to charge for that. We do have plans to charge for things that we're building that are new, such as the system-wide extension, but the core experience, we want everyone to be able to try that and actually use it and be using it for free. We have most of our beta testers seem to be using it every day, so it seems like even as a standalone app, it provides a lot of value for a lot.
Now, you're a small company, and of course, the question comes in right away. Android version? And then I add to that, are there still limitations in the way that TalkBack works that makes prevents a third-party keyboard from really working like it should, or have you looked into this?
So I'll be honest with you, I haven't looked much into Android for maybe 2 years or more now, and I do think they're making great strides in improving accessibility support, but on the very surface, like just a quick look that I took, it seems that it's still not on par with iOS and maybe not even enough to be able to support what we're doing exactly. And like you said, we are a very small company, so we're minded to not take on projects that will, again, cause us to spread too thinly and rather concentrate on the iOS users at the moment. But there's nothing fundamental long-term that would prevent this from being
right. I mean, obviously, it does make sense, you know, as much as Android users, including myself, want to say it, how much it's gotten better, the market is where the market's at. And of course, that makes a lot of sense. So any final thoughts, I guess, you want to add? Or obviously, go ahead and give another plug for the public beta. Make sure people can sign up for that.
Sure. Yeah, so our website is flicktype.com, FLICKTYPE. Everyone can sign up for the beta at flicktype.com. Just send us an empty email and we'll add you to the test flight right away. And what we really, really appreciate is people's feedback. So no matter if it's good or bad or the same as you mentioned before, just keep telling us, you know, what it is that it works well, what doesn't, so we can make this a better product for you and something that you can use every day again and again.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for coming on. We really do appreciate the time and good luck with everything that you guys are doing.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me.
We just came back from San Diego, and I read a Lifehacker tweet that reminded me of a thing that happened in San Diego a couple of years ago, where Ricky and I went and got on the beach and then got nailed by a wave that took us under and then came out and were just drenched. And luckily enough, we didn't have our phones or anything on us. But it is important to have ways to protect your equipment when you're walking towards the bus and it's going to rain and maybe your laptop bag or your purse or your backpack isn't watertight or water friendly. A good way to be able to help yourself out of the situation is to carry a good gallon Ziploc bag or a trash bag, as Lifehacker recommended, and keep that in your backpack, and you can slide your laptop into it or other things and keep them protected if you need to get them out of the rain or if you think you're going to be immersed in water of some kind. And we talked a little bit about this with the floods last year in Texas, but I never really thought about it, keeping it nearby or traveling with a small bag or something like that. And of course, those who have service animals already are carrying bags anyway, that you could slide that in, but it may not be waterproof in the same way that you could use a Ziploc or a trash bag.
No, sometimes it's just the simple things. And thanks, my backpack wasn't heavy enough.
To add one, oh, yes. Just one more a thing. Bag will completely just make you lopsided. You'll just
next week, I'll talk about how to declutter a backpack.
That's but very true.
They're useful stuff, of course. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Stan Luttrell is our man with a plan when it comes to upgrades, and he has been really good at telling us about things like we talked about last week with Victor Reader Stream. Mm-hmm. He let us know about the Orbit Reader firmware that has just dropped, and Stan has an Orbit Reader. So,
oh, it's the Trek that he told us about last week, I think, actually. New Orbit Reader 20 firmware, though. Yes, of course, always get the firmware, even if it's just little stuff. This one fixed a bookmark problem that apparently was going on. Of course, some localization and stuff, and the quote-unquote stability and maintenance updates. But there's no reason not to get the latest versions of these things. And like I said, of course, with BrailleBack, you can use it on Android if you get that beta now. So stay up to date. And by the way, we
all you
saw
have to do is get an Orbit Reader. That's
yes.
That's,
oh, right.
Right.
And did you see the tweet from Steven, too? It looks like that Victor stream update has been pushed, actually.
Was pushed, and it was for the downloading a podcast from HTTPS sites. And the
some podcasts are sent out that way, and so there were some and actually, so we'll jump down and we'll come back up since I kind of segued us down to this one. Mike Hardwick, new contributor to the podcast, so thank you so much, and talking about how to fix that thing on the Victor stream. So like we mentioned a couple times, it generally only gives you the latest 3, and we posted 32 at CSUN. So maybe you want to get more of them. So especially, you know, maybe you don't want to download them all, you know, so there's that. So you go to the online bookshelf menu and then you select the option that says downloaded podcast episodes to keep and set that to manual. So by setting it to manual, it's going to put them in a list and it'll check them for new content, but it's not going to download them until you are ready to download them. So of course you have to go ahead and manually download the episodes at that point. But by doing that, you can bring in a much larger list of episodes and you can just kind of get the ones that you want, especially handy for our CSUN coverage. As much as we'd love you to listen to all 32, we realize that many of you probably have certain interests in what you want to hear. And that's why we put them always up as separate podcasts for CSUN. So you can grab the ones that you want and you can do it that way. And they won't be deleted with newer material. And then, of course, you can always go back and set it to something else besides manual later on. So thanks so much for that tip. We really appreciate it. And we don't always do iPhone Android tips. I had to sneak a little Victor stream chip in there as well. So,
yeah.
Hey, two tips this week.
I like it.
Look at that.
I like it. That is so good. Hey, Fred Rutzel writes in and tells us all about
how did you say his name?
I had sinus problems right as I was saying that. Fred Rutzel. he's never going to let me live that down. Fred writes in and says how he really enjoyed the wrap-up show and that he really thought it was great interplay between blind and low vision you know, professionals and how we interact, and thinks that this should be played for training centers. And
Okay.
Seems like a cruel thing to do to them, Fred. I'm not really, no, I appreciate that. I say that after doing like hour-long lectures to students, so that's...
Oh, gosh. You know what helped that, though, in part? I think two things. One, we did it live, which was really cool to do, and we'll have to see if we can do that again. And second, we did it right then instead of waiting a week or two later, so everything was really fresh in everybody's mind. And we had beer and pizza. Oh, no, the pizza didn't come to after. That's right.
And Google to keep
that's
us right. honest. They Googled to keep us honest, and I don't know how it's going to work out next year. You know, that's one of the exciting things about going to Anaheim next year.
Yep.
We don't know what the conditions are going to be like. We don't know what the show is going to be like. That's going to make things so much more interesting. I'm just excited about that. And the same thing for next year with NFB ACB. You know, that's, you know, if you do the ACB show, you're always going to a different place. NFB is going to be great next year because it's going to be different. No matter what it's going to be, it's not going to be the Anatole in Dallas, and it's not going to be Orlando, so it's going to be different, and that's exciting.
West of the Mississippi, that's all we know. Juan Avila writing in about the slate. Hey, speaking of CSUN, we mentioned the slate during the wrap-up show, and it didn't make the show notes because we didn't actually do an interview on it, but the company is called Overflow Biz. No, I do not believe they're selling it yet. It looked like it was a prototype at CSUN. This was the erasable slate, if you will, the kind of the whiteboard slate. Four lines, 20 sales-ish. Really cool concept. I think they were one of those companies they brought to CSUN and hoping that somebody might say, hey, we should have you guys produce this thing. So hopefully we'll hear more.
And the one that Ricky and I talked about, I believe on the wrap-up show, was called the TactiPad. And that was over at IREAT. And it was really interesting. It was like the spirograph for Braille. It was just really neat the way you could move it and do shapes and draw things. So the TactiPad, which we will have to find a link for and put it in the show notes. Okay, Joe, that made work for yourself. Interesting. Now, in the last word, I came up with something that just screamed Jay and Soylent.
I actually That's thought... Uh-huh. Actually, go ahead. Give me the title for this, Fern. Then I'll tell you what I thought it was.
Okay. It's the Impossible Slider from White Castle.
I don't know why I didn't think food with you. I was actually thinking, wow, this is some really weird Windows
Science
control.
Science fiction-y, weird
no,
kind
like
of
a, like a,
thing,
no, like a control. Like a slider.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So like listen, like an audio board or some type of video game controller.
Like it goes 15 different ways, or you can never get it to 100%. Okay, but it's none of these things. It's food.
No. It's actual food. It is a vegetarian burger from White Castle, which just seems sacrilegious.
All right, moving on now. All right, bye. Tell me more.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're talking about
it's
anything
a plant-based
vegetarian.
Slider, not made out of Soylent.
Okay.
And this article here describes the scrumdiddlyumptious Impossible Slider. I've seen some people talk about this on Twitter, and they have used the word regret a
Is
number
this the
of
one
times
that bleeds?
In their tweets. No, wasn't that a different one that did that? I remember which one you're talking. I remember that someone tried that. I do remember that. I just don't remember.
Oh, wait a minute.
It did it?
140 restaurants in New York, New Jersey, and Chicago.
Yes. Yeah, you know, dude, you could totally, Harold, Kumar, and JJ could totally be at White Castle right now.
Let me see if they're on DoorDash, and I'll have to get back to you. And maybe just for you, Joe.
Order I one might. For, oh, no, this is your last week. Oh, man, if you're still in New Jersey next week, you could totally eat it
on the
show.
No, I'm definitely not in Jersey. No. This is it. I'm definitely not. I'll put it between my next order of Healthy Fitness Grill and Weenies.
But you could invite Bon Jovi and the boss over and eat Impossible Sliders together. Oh, totally.
Did I tell you about Weenies?
No, I don't think so.
Did you? It's a hot dog place.
Okay.
And so they have some crazy ones. They didn't deliver it here until 3 a.m. There's only one, sadly.
Dude.
Okay. Some that I've kind of seen before, like a mac and cheese dog. They have one with mac and Cheetos. They have one with peanut butter and potato chips and bacon. It's pretty good. It's actually not that bad.
I guess bacon solves any of life's problems.
I mean, no, peanut butter, though. Like, if you've ever had a peanut butter burger, you'll understand how this works. And it's
there was a reason why Elvis liked it. I didn't. Yeah, I never had a problem.
You know,
with
he didn't
that
peanut butter burgers. He just did peanut butter banana sandwiches, I thought.
Oh, well. I've seen burgers that are dedicated to Elvis's love of such things.
Right.
And yes.
Is there banana on the burger?
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
They do have a peanut butter banana shake. That's called the Elvis shake. Of course,
that rules. Oh, dude, totally
yep.
down with
but
that.
But yes, lots of interesting. So yeah, you can get like Cheetos, Fritos, Doritos, cheese sauce, mac and cheese, hot sauce,
like all
hot
dog. Peanut butter eggs. So when Easter is over, I mean, yeah, there are Reese's, you know, they're the Reese's trees. There are hearts, but the peanut butter eggs just for some reason taste the best. I don't know why. It's just something that Reese's does to those particular versions of that candy. And I found out this past Easter that Kyle was a fan of white chocolate, which was good because that means I got to hoard all the dark chocolate, which was good for me because that's more my thing. And Ricky is on a low carb diet. So for us, it was like Easter candy out our ears. It was.
Can you drink much milk on a low carb diet?
Nope, she can't. So cereal and milk and all that's been left up to the guys in the household.
This story may not interest her then, but perhaps some of you that are milk drinkers. A farm actually over right near me. Well, my normal me in Kent County by Grand Rapids, they're automating everything for their cows. So now their cows are wearing fitness trackers.
Oh, yes. The Fitbit cows.
The Fitbit cows. So, yes, they're attached to all the cows. And then you can track their weight, their daily steps, their milk production, how often she chews or spits.
Well, guess that's important. I never took agriculture.
And then it's all so on like a dashboard and an app or whatever. And you can sort the cows by production. I'm not sure what you do if they're low production. You can, you know, how fast the milk flow
over,
is.
You move, you tap on it and you move it over to the slaughterhouse. It's just what, no, I'm sorry. You move it to the hamburger icon. Sorry.
Then you go over to the udder tab and then they have more information about,
this is just getting bovine ridiculous. Oh my god. Well, you know, people forget that a lot of technology comes out of farming. I mean, that was self-driving tractors years before self-driving cars.
Gosh.
There was a lot of things
way back to the cotton gin and many other things. Yeah, all these farming innovations and things that kind of made things more automated.
You know, satellites.
And,
you know, you
could. It sounds
you
can like sort they're finding ways to do this. Like
migration.
The cows aren't being harmed by doing this. They actually can walk in and milk. No. They have self milking stations, kind of like self checkout.
And you got to do something with used Fitbits. I mean, you know, you recycle them and they got to go somewhere. So why not to livestock?
I just want to go online. I wish that farmer, one of them would like put this all online. So
like
can
upload their data so you can look at it in real time.
The open data initiative. I just want to look at the data. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know. For just pennies a day, you could. Oh, wait. No, that was earlier in the news.
Do they name the cows?
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
I mean, 6-1-6-5-8. You could have an automatic algorithm.
I'm not a number. I am a free cow.
Hey, let us know what you want to do on future shows. We're always looking for ideas. We have a few in the hopper. But of course, we're looking for your ideas and feedback, which you can send over to us. We do appreciate it. Like I said, Google I.O. is coming up. Of course, WWDC, which is the big Apple event. Is that June?
Microsoft date for Build. That? Also,
you go to that. Microsoft Build. Yeah, you can go to that. And
I can watch it all on Channel 9. It's easier.
Okay. And actually, you can check us out. We've been other places lately too. Hey, are you on like main menu every week now?
It seems like that seems to be happening. Shelly and I appeared over at main menu to do conversations about low vision and all the things we saw video magnifier at CSUN. And so I was lucky to be asked to come back. And then I said, you know, who really knows this low vision stuff even better than I is this Shelly lady, and you should have her on. And so they got her on too. And so we talked about that. So flip on over to the main menu archives and check out the last couple of shows to hear my talk with the Windows team and narrator. And of course, information about video magnifiers.
And Shelly and I also, because we were there anyway, and it made a lot of sense. We both happened to write for Access World from time to time. We did team coverage of CSUN in text form for the April Access World, which is now out. So I did naturally the braille and blindness stuff, and she covers a lot of low vision things. So those are up there now at afb.org/aw. So you can get the latest issue of Access World. Also, a review of the AFB Leadership Conference and some other really cool stuff there. And also was on the AMI's version of Tech Talk, which is up in Canada. with Stephen Scott. So thank you so much for having me back on there again as well. Really cool stuff. So we're a few different places, man. It's been a little crazy, but
been whirlwind, and doesn't seem like that's going to stop for us till sometime. No. I think in August, maybe August.
I don't know.
Good grief. Because then I'll start panicking about
anyone going to Site City. Dave, someone? That's coming up in a couple of weeks. So maybe sometimes you get some product announcements there. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I guess I will go get a nap now, because it sounds like we got a lot of work ahead of us. In the meantime, if you want to follow me on Twitter and see what kind of crazy things I talk about, including Xbox and PlayStation Access, which I've started to do because I've got a little bit more free time on my hands, which means, well, video games, you can follow me over at Twitter. That's Ranger Station, all one word. That's twitter.com/RangerStation.
You can email feedback at blindbargains.com if you have comments and feedback and such. You can tweet us at Blind Bargains, and of course, go to the show notes for episode 141 for those news links and link to Flip Type on the App Store if you would like to do it there, and info on the beta program and everything else over there at blindbargains.com. Of course, our CSUN coverage is still there. Our wrap-up show is the one, no, two. No, one. No, two. Two before this one, right?
2 weeks ago.
Right? 2 weeks before this one. That was 139. Totally. Then a whole bunch of interviews before that. So, of course, you can go back and pick and choose anything from there. So, that's all at blindbargains.com.
And thank you, Patrick Perdue, for making us sound better than we actually are. And, of course, thank our friends over at Flick Type. See?
Got it.
I can say it. Flick Type for coming on and talking about their new project, and go grab that. And of course, in the meantime, you can go back through our old stuff, or again, follow us on social media and give us all that information, because we love to hear it. And thank you once again for sharing our information with others out there. I saw some more tweets about people liking the transcript and our previous coverage. So that really does fuel the fires for this big jet to keep on flying. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's going to do it, folks. We'll see you next time.
Later.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.